Greetings, welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola, aloha. Ni hao, namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour, buongiorno. Sawadee karup, guten tag. Ciao, weevi, va cat bang. Half a day. Ciao, Janendra. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now. Go vegan. Peace, how? Go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial corporation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA, home of Uncle Sam Manella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, looking at life differently for 14 years in the mainstream media. Coming to you live on a glorious Sunday in Northern California, globally warmed to searing water-free protection. And the heat is on, huh? And since nobody really seems to want to do anything about it, really, I mean, let's face it, right? Not Pacifica Radio or Democracy Now!, not Greenpeace or the Sierra Club or 350.org, not Fibbin Bill McKibben, you know, not Obama, not the pro-fracking Governor Brown. I mean, nobody, really. I mean, it comes right down to it. Interfaith, Power and Light, Reverend Sally Bingham. Nobody. We really don't want. Al Gore? Nah. Nobody really wants to do anything about it. Harvard? Stanford? Eh. Well, I guess since nobody else seems to care about it, I'm just going to the dog park with Daisy. So enjoy your next 2 hours. Hum to yourself. Oh, okay. No. We're here. And here we go. You know, from water conservation measures going into effect this past week here in California because of the meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption caused drought, to the deadly meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption caused heat wave in India. Obviously, the meat, dairy, fish, and egg climate change is taking its toll. But what do you want? You are what you eat, huh? So that's what it is, you know. If we have our life-killing diet, is just that. It's a life-killing diet. Bon appetit. So, beginning in mid-May, much of India, including the states of Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, pardon my pronunciation, saw temperatures soar to 120 degrees Fahrenheit during the day. That last sentence, wasn't that from my final exam in speech class on losing a New York accent? What was that? So, they soar temperatures saw, to 120 degrees Fahrenheit during the day. Can you believe that? Actually, any fruits and vegetables outdoors no longer qualified for the raw food diet. Those temperatures were lingering in the 80s and 90s at night. The low temperature in Mumbai one night was just under 110 degrees for a low one night. The average global temperature has risen about 1.6 degrees Fahrenheit since the beginning of the 20th century, we are told, and more extreme weather events are predicted. It was estimated that this latest heat wave in India killed over 2,300 people. Historically, heat wave deaths are underreported. Remember in recent history, the 2003 heat wave in Europe was blamed for over 50,000 deaths, that being the worst heat wave there in over 500 years. Last year, Climate Central published an article under the headline, "Deadly Heat in Europe, 10 times more likely than decade ago." Deadly heat in Europe, 10 times more likely than decade ago. And written in that there article, quoting it, it said, using summer temperature observations from 2003 to 2012 and new computer models, the study conducted by researchers at the Met Office, the United Kingdom's Weather and Climate Forecasting Center, looked at how humans may be influencing the probability of heat waves in Europe. It says, over the last 10 to 15 years, European summers have become markedly warmer. The study's lead author, Met Office climate research scientist Nikos Christidis, said, there has been an increase of about 0.8 degrees Celsius or 1.45 degrees Fahrenheit in the European area where we considered this our paper. As a result, extreme temperature thresholds are now much more likely to be exceeded, which explains the tenfold increase in the frequency of extremely hot summers we report in the paper. So, and I don't know, within the last couple of shows on this program, we talked about the potential effects of climate change coming to California. And but those climate deniers, like I say, the environmental groups, the supposed progressive media, did you watch Democracy Now! This past week? Democracy Now! Went to Stanford. And both Stanford and Democracy Now! Get an F. You know, they were talking about solutions to climate change. Well, Amy Goodman should listen to her own program, at least one program from a few months ago, when it was noted that animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change. Animal agriculture, number one cause of climate change, responsible for at least 51% of human-caused greenhouse gas emissions. This, according to the world's foremost climate specialists from the World Bank, World Watch Institute, United Nations. Okay, so there you have it. At least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions caused by animal agriculture or the meat, dairy, fish, and egg climate change that we are experiencing, consumption of them causing it. And Amy Goodman goes to Stanford. I thought we heard that animal agriculture was the number one cause of climate change on Democracy Now!, but how quickly we forget. And she asks Stanford specialists, what are the solutions? And they're talking, alternative energy infrastructure. We'll go state by state and get those states to insert alternative energy infrastructures, which we know have been estimated to be at least $35 trillion in cost and would take at least 20 years. Do we have that time? Do we have that money? Where's the? Are you going to go to Congress? The real climate deniers? Climate deniers to the extent of, well, even Democracy Now!, they equal that kind of climate denying. Go to Congress, try to get $35 trillion for an alternative energy infrastructure, or have your state, divide it by 50 and see how much money you get from your state. And that's the Stanford solution. And then Amy Goodman talks about, we've also talked about divestiture on this program. Aren't we good? And Stanford says, yes, you get another A, Amy Goodman. Divestiture is a very good. Divestiture is good for nothing. It's symbolic nothingness. Divest from divestiture. Why, if animal, let's see. So if the number one cause of climate change is the consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, so-called meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, might the solution be that we all have to go vegan? Would that be a better solution than going to each state legislature and trying to come up with a solution that way? I don't know. Maybe after being vegan for 31 years, you get a strange perspective on people, you know, and what they do. The number one cause of climate change is animal agriculture, so let's have a new energy infrastructure that we can't afford. That would take too long. We'll all be underwater by that time. Okay, fine. Well, coming up on today's program, Eric Weissman, one of the illustrious speakers at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and he is the founder of Evolution, dog and cat food, vegan dog and cat food. He'll be joining us. And next hour, Professor Gary Francione will discuss a new video campaign that comes to us from Mercy for Animals. We invite phone calls. If you're a supporter of Mercy for Animals, it's that video, what's it called? It's on YouTube. We'll tell you in 2 minutes how we can end factory farming, something like that. I posted it on my Facebook page on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and also the two Bob Linden pages on Facebook, and the at Go Vegan Radio on Twitter. So I posted the link to that if you want to watch it before we talk about it next hour. We'll also play that video next hour, the 2 minutes, and hear why Professor Francione is so upset by it and why I see it as a confirmation that Mercy for Animals is really the pinnacle of animal betrayal specialists. That's coming up next hour. If you want to call in, we'll open the phone lines at 6:30 Pacific time. The phone number, 855-660-4261. That's the call-in number if you're a Mercy for Animals supporter. Call in, 6:30 Pacific time, 855-660-4261. We will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and the Bob Linden page and the other Bob Linden page on Facebook. Don't ask why. I don't really know if I know. So when I was a kid, there was a show on TV. What was it called? Was it the GE College Bowl, where, you know, each university or college would send representatives, and it was kind of an academic competition? And, you know, I just keep seeing, you know, right now I see like, students, so animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change, responsible for at least 51% of all human-caused greenhouse gas emissions. So, college students, what should we do to stop climate change? Harvard, what do you say? Ah, divest. Oh, sorry. Wrong, Harvard. Stanford, what do you say? Alternative energy infrastructure? We go state by... Okay, forget it. That's, you know, I I hate to say it, but I think that both Harvard and Stanford are going to have to go to UC Berkeley. That's our plan. Our plan is to put together a 2016 World Vegan Summit and Expo. And really, we need to make it attractive to college students also. So we'll have special pricing for college students. But, you know, we're talking to UC Berkeley, and we need to have a gathering here because misinformation runs rampant, and we need help also. You know, this is another grassroots effort, but we've located the beautiful Zellerbach Hall, which is a 2,500-seat auditorium, so we can accommodate a lot of people. We can have an expo in the Pauley Ballroom and in the plaza between the two, a big vegan food court and staging area and music. And, you know, so let's all just... let's pencil it in on the calendar, okay? Because, I mean, seeing what's happening at you know, Harvard and Stanford, I think we need to go to summer school, July 29th, 30th, and 31st of 2016, UC Berkeley in the San Francisco Bay Area. And let's get together. We'll have wonderful university professors and health professionals and social justice activists, as we did with the first World Vegan Summit and Expo. But we really need help. This is a grassroots effort. And Julie Meskel, Julie Curran Meskel, who was, you know, without her, we wouldn't have been able to do the one that we had in March in the L.A. area. Well, she's in the L.A. area. She won't be able to help us on the one in the Bay Area. So we need help. We need help with people to raise funds and get exhibitors and vendors and all the logistics that go into putting on a massive event. You know, the Woodstock of 2016. So let's plan on that. If you are someone who wants to help, my email is bob@govegan.com. That's bob@govegan.com. Stanford students, okay, you have an assignment. You all need to go to Vegetarian House. It's a vegan restaurant in San Jose. Not too far. It's not too far from Palo Alto. Just go to a Vegetarian House. That if you want to know the solution to climate change, start eating there. Start eating vegan food. It's the only solution. We're told by climate specialists from the World Bank that we need a 50 to 85% shift in our population from so-called livestock products to going vegan. So, you know, if your solution at Stanford is alternative energy, before you head out on the road to visit all the state legislatures on your campaign, let's stop by Vegetarian House and see what the real solution is. We all have to eat vegan food, and you're not sacrificing anything or anyone. Check out the wonderful international menu, the cuisine there at Vegetarian House. Go to vegetarianhouse.us. And in fact, Vegetarian House caters. So if you're... student organization at Stanford, perhaps an environmental organization, perhaps a climate change student organization at Stanford would like to have catering, get in touch with Vegetarian House or head on over there, 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. Again, the website is vegetarianhouse.us. We will continue with Eric Weissman of Evolution Dog and Cat Food on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, Facebook Govegan Radio with Bob Linden and Bob Linden and Bob Linden. And Up next hour, we will talk to Professor Gary Francione about the new video from Mercy for Animals, this video entitled, In 2 Minutes, We're Going to Tell You How We Can End Factory Farming. And Professor Francione will tell us what problems he has with that video. I will tell you my problems with it. I will also play the sound of that video next hour. And if you're a Mercy for Animals supporter and you want to call in and defend that video, explain why it's good for animals in any way, the call-in number here is 855-660-4261. That's the call-in number. If you want to listen by phone, that number is 605-562-7771. We're also available, of course, on iTunes and syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. And you can click Listen Live at Go Vegan Radio, where the program is archived. And today we welcome back from Evolution Dog Food and Cat Food, Eric Weissman, the founder of that company, who was one of the illustrious speakers at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. You can see his talk and many of the others at youtube.com/goveganradio. Sorry we didn't get everybody's talk up there. But as I said, this is a grassroots effort, and we do the best we can generally with volunteers. In fact, we need somebody to help us make a video so that we can do an Indiegogo or GoFundMe for the second World Vegan Summit and Expo, the 2016 event that we're planning for UC Berkeley, July 29th, 30th, and 31st. And we hope to see you there at that one, too. Eric, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Bob, and thanks so much for having me on your radio show.
Well, thank you for being with us, and thank you for attending the World Vegan Summit and Expo. So tell us about, you know, your experience there.
That was an amazing experience, being at the World Vegan Summit and being able to speak to the entire audience. Was an amazing experience, and you did an amazing job of putting that thing together, Bob. That was an incredible experience. I enjoyed it thoroughly. The food was great. The people were fantastic, and it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I hope we have another one.
Well, thank you. You did your lines. You read your lines just as I wrote them. Thank you so very much.
Right.
Really. So, and you know, it's really, you know, what you do. It's interesting who might be considered a hero in this day and age. Usually, it's somebody who drops a bomb or, you know, presses a button at a computer and a drone hits someone. You know, but somebody who makes vegan dog and cat food available, really, that's a heroic venture, actually. And how did that come to be? How long has Evolution been in existence?
Evolution has been in existence actually for about 27 years. We started here in Minnesota, which is one of the most unlikely places on the planet to start a vegan pet food company. And the reason why we started it is because I witnessed the horrific treatment of animals that went into pet food. And you know, the baby male chickens that are ground up by the millions every day and the female layer hens that can't lay eggs anymore in sufficient numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the, you know, the misbranding, you know, the poor baby babies that are born on the slaughterhouse floors, the lambs and the cows that are ground up, you know, for pet food because they can't be used, obviously, for human consumption, so they're ground up for animal feed and pet food. Mm. And this is what grossed me out, and I was already a strict vegetarian, you know, 27 years ago, actually 40 years ago, 45 years ago, I had stopped eating meat, poultry, and fish, and then I became a vegan later on, and then we got into making vegan pet food, and yeah, it's always a battle because we're up against a huge juggernaut. The meat, poultry, and fish slaughter industry waste portion of that industry is immense, and that is what goes into all non-vegan pet foods or so-called, you know, meat-based pet foods. They're using the waste products that can't be used for human consumption.
What are the waste products? Waste products such as what?
What they consider waste products are, you know, baby male chicks by the millions every day that are thrown into the grinders alive, the spent layer hens, the animals.
Yeah, for the people who eat eggs and think they're not causing any harm, well, the hens who are laying the eggs and then they can't do it anymore, they get ground up and go into so-called pet food.
Exactly, and that's the chicken of all pet-grade food, even the organic pet-grade foods that they sell in the grocery stores are made from the organic layer hens that can no longer lay sufficient eggs. And all the animals that are ground up, you know, that can't be used, like the baby calves and the baby lambs and the baby, you know, these infants that are, or fetuses that are born on the slaughter floors, those are often misbranded along with the bycatch, you know, the extra fish that are caught in the giant nets that are dredged from the bottoms of the ocean. All the fish that can't be used for human consumption are misbranded and put into pet foods and also animal feeds, and, of course, sometimes for human food as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was enough to gross me out and come up with a better idea. And what we did is I started investigating the different grain foods and vegetable protein foods, excuse me, that could be used as a surrogate for meat, poultry, and fish. And when we originally started, we started with wheat protein and with soy protein and also corn protein. And we don't use wheat anymore, but in our basic products, we use oats and we use corn protein or maize protein, and we also use soy, which are all excellent sources of protein, but they're damned by the meat industry, and they tell people how bad these proteins are for dogs and cats. But in reality, we've had dogs and cats living into their mid-teens consistently for many years. And I won't say that that's a guarantee, because it's not. You know, some dogs don't make it much past 7 or 8. But some have lived into their late teens, and some have even broken 20 years old. We've had numerous cats that have exceeded 20. That's not uncommon on vegan pet food, and especially if you're adding supplements. And again, that's not a guarantee. That's just what we've seen historically.
Well, isn't the reaction generally, dogs are carnivores, I know that dogs can be vegans, but cats too?
Oh, yeah, of course. We've been feeding vegan cats for, you know, 25 years now, and ferrets for that matter. And they've done exceptionally well for the most part. Not always, but for the most part, they do very, very well. Live long and healthy lives as strict vegans. And then we have different flavorings that we put on the food to make it more palatable and mimic some of the flavors of, you know, animal flesh and cheese. And they like those mimic flavors, so that helps them switch over.
Mm-hmm. And I hear going through people's minds right now, but cats need taurine. Isn't that something that you hear?
Sure. And taurine is actually a naturally occurring aminosulfonic acid. It's not actually a protein. It's close to a protein, but it's not a protein. And it's made synthetically, and that's for the whole industry. The meat industry uses synthetic taurine just like we use synthetic taurine, and it's, you know, non-animal-based taurine. We also add carnitine to our food from a plant source. And We also add methionine, which is a very, very important amino acid for cats, and vitamin C to acidify the urine and also produce better cartilage and connective tissue in cats and dogs, and acidify the urine so that they don't get blockage.
I remember some years ago, everybody always saying, oh, cats need taurine, cats need taurine. And then a study came out of IAMS, and it seemed like it didn't quite have as much taurine in it as it advertised on the label also, as I
recall. Just consider this, Bob. Think of all the recalls, the toxic recalls that are occurring in the meat pet food industry every year. There's at least 5 to 6 major recalls of animal-based cat food and dog food every year, killing many dogs and cats from toxicity. Evolution at petfoodshop.com, and that's our website, evolution at petfoodshop.com, has never had one toxic recall in over 26 years since our inception. We've never had one toxic recall since we started manufacturing pet food, and it's because we always use all plant products for all our products, and they do a great job, and of course we sell it in the United States, Canada, Europe, and Asia, believe it or not.
Okay, and 27 years, did you say? So there must be demand.
Yes.
There must be demand to keep you in business, which is great. And you know, also at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, we need to take a break. So we will maybe continue that thought if I remember it after the break. We're talking to Eric Weissman of Evolution Dog and Cat Food. Up next hour, Professor Gary Francione, and we will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and we continue on our program today, and we've been broadcasting now inexplicably for 14 years, trying to help everyone go vegan, dogs and cats and ferrets and humans. Today we're talking to Eric Weissman, he was a speaker at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and will attend the 2016 version if we get it together, and we're going to get it together because we have to. We have the moral obligation. So here we go. At the one in March, we did say how really vegans should support vegan businesses. People who have 100% vegan businesses, let's support them. And Evolution, dog food, cat food, would be one of those. There are other companies who have vegan lines, but then they have their non-vegan lines. Shall we support the vegans? Yes, Eric Weissman, all your products are 100% vegan.
And I think it's really important, and it's like you said, Bob, it's important for vegans to support vegan business. And I'm not just saying this because I run a vegan pet food company and a vegan health service where I assist people with their very sick dogs and cats all over North America every day. It's because it's so important, because vegan businesses are struggling. They're struggling to maintain themselves and to keep their heads above water because there's so much interest by the meat, poultry, and fish slaughter industry to close down. vegan businesses. So I urge all your listeners to purchase vegan pet foods and to purchase vegan candy and vegan marshmallows and vegan everything from vegan-only companies if they can. And if they can't, then to purchase them from vegan products, of course, from non-vegan companies, and as much as they can.
Right. And
that's the only way that we're going to win this war.
Right. It's best to support those
dollars.
Vote with our dollars and support vegan companies, vegan restaurants, and evolution. You said that it was unlikely that a vegan business such as yours would start in Minnesota. Why?
Minnesota is one of the most brutal areas in the world for animal treatment. There is probably more torturing and killing of animals per capita in Minnesota. And I use Minnesota euphemistically because the name should really be Minnesota. This is one of the nastiest areas in the world for animal abuse and killing per capita. And I say per capita, you know, because it's all based on the numbers. And, you know, they just killed millions of chickens and turkeys, and because they were sick with the avian flu, they killed millions of baby pigs. They just suffocate them alive in various ways, either by spraying them with some kind of coating and suffocating them, or just brutalizing them, beating them to death, or throwing them in the grinders. And these are the animals that wind up in pet food. The ones that are too sick for human consumption by the millions are not wasted. They're ground up for what is considered premium brand pet foods for dogs and cats all over the United States. And this is one of the primary breeding areas for fish, for pigs, and certainly for chickens. It's probably the most intensive poultry state in the world, and that includes chickens and turkeys. And there's a lot of abuse here, and the government just lets it happen because they're bought and paid for by the meat, poultry, fish slaughter industry.
Mm. Well, letting it happen is just really business as usual. You know, it's
absolutely.
Every animal product contains starts with rape, and then you have mutilation, imprisonment, and murder.
Absolutely.
Every drop. Stay with us, Eric Weissman of Evolution Dog and Cat Food. We'll continue, and you can support this vegan venture, this vegan radio program. Click donate at goveganradio.com. Greetings again. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. We are live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com. We're syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. And coming up this hour, we will have Professor Gary Francione with a critique of a new Mercy for Animals video campaign. We'll also play the soundtrack of that video later this hour. And if you are someone who's a supporter of Mercy for Animals and would like to defend the criticism, the call-in number will open the phone lines at about 6:30 Pacific Time. That's 855-660-4261. And I hope that those of us who love Dixie May very much will do our best to cheer her up from the depths of sadness from the loss of her partner of 56 years, Stan May, her husband. Dixie credits Stan as the support that has allowed her to dedicate her life to activism for animals and the vegan cause, and Stan was happy to be her gopher, as he called himself, G-O-F-E-R. Stan was 90 years of age and was confined to a wheelchair after a debilitating car accident 14 years ago. But what an exemplary couple. Both he and Dixie have been vegan about 40 years each, which is a most notable contribution to society in itself. And so let's get together as many people as possible to attend the memorial for Stan and show Dixie our love, support, and good vibes. That'll be Saturday, June 27th, 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1187 Franklin Street in San Francisco. I'm also saddened to hear of the tragic death of Cindy Stein in the Los Angeles area, a really kind and caring person who helped so many homeless dogs and birds and helped Go Vegan Radio at times also. So sad to hear the news about Cindy and also Stan. We are with Eric Weissman today of Evolution Dog and Cat Food and a vegan business. And Eric, I guess we're up against really industries who have a lot of political clout and find a lot of favor in state legislatures and subsidies and all. So,
yeah, it's very unfortunate. But what the reality is, and you know this as well as I do, is that the politicians take money from the meat, poultry, and fish slaughter industry as campaign contributions, and who knows what other perks the politicians take money from these companies, and they of course use it for their campaigns, and also and the meat, poultry, and fish slaughter industry uses it for influence, and that influence corrupts the meat, poultry, and fish slaughter industry to an even greater extent than it already is inherently. And there's no way around it. I mean, if we're going to be vegan and win this battle, we have to stand together. There's a number of other vegan pet food companies like AMI, Bonovo, V-Dog. Those are the only three I know of. Veggie Pet is another one that makes a vegan mix. But Evolution at PetFoodShop.com is the only one that I know of that is 100% complete protein for all life stages of dogs and cats. And that's a major issue if you want to keep your dog or cat alive the longest period of time and in the healthiest condition. So although I prefer you use ours, of course, use whatever one you wish. But I hope you'll buy vegan from vegan pet food companies if you can. And again, just like we discussed at the World Vegan Summit, if you can't buy it from a vegan supplier, buy it from a supplier at least that carries vegan products. You know, that's what I hope we all do, and maybe we can win this thing. I have my fingers crossed and my toes crossed, and it's not happening as much as we'd like it to happen, but we're doing it, and with people Bob.
Why do I heard a compliment for me coming. I didn't mean to interrupt, but well remember, hold that compliment. Why would all of these so-called pet food companies who have all these non-vegan lines, why would they even have a vegan choice? Why do they have them?
Well, that's very obvious. It's to put the vegan pet food companies out of business. They want them to close down so that, they want to take whatever funding they've got from the public away, and they can use it to torture and kill more animals and make more money, which is what they're all about. And what really separates you know, animal liberation people, vegans, people like ourselves, is that we don't do things for money primarily. We do things for ideology, and that ideology is liberating all animal life on this planet. And that's a huge separation between us and, you know, most of the public, unfortunately. We do things because we want to make things better. The rest of the public does it primarily for profit, and that's what separates an ideologue from, you know, the average Joe on the street. And I hope you'll keep that in mind every time you purchase products from, you know, a company. Make sure that, try and make sure at least that, number one, that it's a vegan company, and if you can purchase from directly from that company, I hope you'll do it. And then next, if you can't purchase the vegan product from a vegan company, at least buy vegan. And last but not least, you buy, the worst case scenario is you buy from a, obviously a, an absolutely anti-vegan company, like a meat, poultry, fish, slaughter industry company that makes vegan products. That's like the worst.
But you know, they I mean, in addition to, like, maybe hoping that vegan pet food companies would go out of business, they must see some sort of health advantage or demand or something that would allow them or you know, make them desire to market it.
Well, I think it's a marketing ploy. Obviously, they know that it works, and it works well, you know, that vegan dogs and cats live at least as long and as healthfully as dogs and cats on a meat-based diet.
And not but subjected also, to a lot of the allergies related to animal products in the food, so that's an advantage to eating vegan foods.
I mean, if a dog or cat is allergic to meat, poultry, and fish products, plant products would be the obvious alternative or surrogate. And the other thing is, of course, that they're just after the money. I mean, that's, you know, these meat, poultry, and fish companies, they'll do anything for money because they're in the blood industry. So when you're talking about people that torture and kill animals for a living, these are people that will do anything for a buck. You know that. We know that. And that's mm-hmm. what we're up against in this huge battle.
Mm-hmm. And there is the market now for vegan food for companion animals. So and you have you have a dry and a canned. And what would the difference be? Or Daisy seems to like
food.
Both.
Yeah, we have the moist canned food in two flavors. We have the cheesy. We have the gourmet entree canned food, and we have the veggie stew canned food, and then we have gourmet pasta in the dry food, and we have gourmet fondue in the dry food. This is all for dogs and cats. And then we have a new one coming out called Gourmet Organda, which is an organic dry food, and that'll be out in a few weeks. So we'll have an organic dry food. And you just serve it dry, or you add water to it, which I think is preferable. And I hope you'll try our new organic dry food. It's wonderful.
Well, I will. I mean, or Daisy will. Or Daisy and I will. I don't know. It's vegan and it's organic. Why wouldn't I?
Right. And we'll have a new organic moist food in a can, probably within about a month also. So, you know, although they're more expensive, a lot of people are willing to spend more money on their dogs and cats because they want them to live longer and healthier, obviously, and that's one way to do it is to reduce the amount of chemicals and toxins that are in the food, and by buying organic, we can do that.
Oh, great. So that's great to hear that you're introducing the organic varieties, and they will be coming soon.
Very shortly.
Okay.
Stay tuned. And Bob, if anybody wants to order food from your radio program and they call in to our 1-800 number, which is 1-800-659-0104 or 651-0104, 1-800-221-9056, and they identify themselves as being supporters of your vegan radio show, we'll take 10% off any sale and donate it to your vegan radio show cause and or the World Vegan Summit coming up. And I hope that if any of the listeners are interested in vegan dog or cat food and they call in and identify themselves as calling in for support for Go Vegan Radio, 10% of every sale is going to go towards Bob Linden and this program and hopefully the upcoming World Vegan Summit.
Well, I don't know how many people are willing to identify themselves as listeners of this program, but we'll give it a try. What are those phone numbers again, Eric Weissman? We got to go.
The main phone number is 651-221-9056, and our 1-800 number is 800-659-0104.
Thanks for being with us, Eric Weissman. We're out of time. Thanks for being with us. Everybody, buy your evolution. Support the show. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, and Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We are joined a few minutes early this week, although you just never know when Professor Gary Francione will be joining us. This week it's a few minutes early because we want to play the soundtrack of a video released by Mercy for Animals. It's on YouTube. It's called In 2 Minutes. We're going to tell you how we can end factory farming. Hi, Professor Francione. Anything you want to say before we listen to the soundtrack? And then people who are supporters of Mercy for Animals who want to defend it can call in at 855-660-4261. I believe that this soundtrack in the video confirms, you know, enhances Mercy for Animals' role as, you know, a prime animal betrayal specialist. But anything to say before we hear what's said on there, Professor
Bob?
Francione?
I became aware of this because several people from my Facebook page contacted me and asked me what I thought about it, and I didn't know what they were talking about. So I asked them, "Please send me the link." They sent me the link, and I they had described it. They described it as accurately, and I said, "No, it can't." They haven't gone that far, so I watched it, and they have. It really is. It really is just. It's very disappointing to me, and I really wish that Mr. Runkel would come on to your show. I know you've invited him before, but he has not. He has never accepted. Hey, you've invited him several times, haven't you?
Yes, and here will be cause to do it again. So here,
yeah,
I really.
I really would love to have a public discussion with him about this. I mean, social movements, if a social movement is healthy, then people who have fundamental differences on matters ought to be able to talk about them, and ought to be able to talk about them publicly so that mm-hmm. people can listen and make their decisions. And so I'm disappointed that that Mercy for Animals is really become HSUS Lite, actually.
I think this is typical of modern-day Mercy for Animals. Here, let's give a listen so people can hear it, and then we'll discuss it also after the break. So, the new campaign from Mercy for Animals.
Over the past half a century, factory farming has become the number one cause of animal cruelty. 2 minutes from now, you'll know how we are going to end it. Factory farming has turned living, breathing animals into nothing more than production units. increasing demand for meat and eggs has seen animals crammed into smaller and smaller spaces. And as factory farms cut costs to turn a bigger profit, animals have paid the price. But if factory farming is so cruel, isn't the government doing something about it? Tragically, no. Powerful industry lobbies have opposed any laws that would end factory farming. But luckily, we don't need government to end factory farming. We can do it ourselves. Here's how. Factory farming only exists because there is a market for their products. Factory farmers depend on retailers for their business, and retailers decide what to sell based on what we buy. If we don't buy it, then retailers don't stock it. And if retailers don't stock it, then there's no demand. And if there's no demand, then there's no factory farming. So by refusing factory farmed, you send a strong message about how you think animals should be treated. By choosing to eat fewer animal products, you can reduce the huge demand that has forced animals to be so intensively farmed. And if you want to make the ultimate choice for animals, you can go meat-free and know that no animals were harmed for your food. It's as simple as that. We can free animals from factory farms. All we have to do is make kind choices. But people can't make kind choices unless they know what's going on. And they won't know what's going on unless we tell them. Time is ticking, so we need your help to spread the word. Tell your friends and family. Share this video on social media. Animals urgently need us all to choose kindness over cruelty. Their future is in our hands. We can free animals from factory farms.
Okay, well, we have to go to the break. We will talk about this video, and you can call in to talk about it. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, and Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and the two Bob Linden pages on Facebook. And thanks for support from Nature's Flavors. Go to the website, naturesflavors.com. Read all about Birdie and Bill's organic sodas, which are sugar-free and vegan baking. You can have sugar-free, gluten-free, vegan baking mixes and essential oils. And there are thousands of products, all vegan. Just check it out. Naturesflavors.com. Naturesflavors.com. Before the break, we listened to the soundtrack of a new campaign, a video from Mercy for Animals, entitled, In 2 Minutes, We're Going to Tell You How We Can End Factory Farming. We listened to that. So, Professor Francione, you have a problem with this video? You have a problem with ending factory farming?
Yeah, I think it's a horrible video, and you know, I saw three initial problems with it. There are more, but the three main problems, as I see it, is first of all, we are told to refuse factory farming, refuse factory farm. So basically, don't buy factory farm products. Well, I don't know how else to understand that except that you shouldn't buy factory farm products, but it's all right to buy, quote, humanely, end quote, produced or happy exploitation products. And this goes along, of course, with Mercy for Animals supporting Whole Foods and expressing their appreciation and support for the pioneering happy exploitation program at Whole Foods, which they did along with Peter Singer and some other, many of the other large groups in this country. But it sort of goes along with that. It's this notion that the problem is factory farming. It's not that we're using animals, it's how we treat them. So the solution to the problem is to not buy factory farm products. Well, The logical implication there is go ahead and buy non-factory farm products. So,
it says it directly though in there. It says, well, it suggests choosing to eat fewer animal products. So it is saying directly, you know, buy animal products. Just
well, yeah. I mean, that's the second problem. They say eat less meat or whatever they say, or eat fewer animal products. But what they're basically saying is eat fewer. But you know, if you're eating fewer, that's a morally good thing to do. That's like saying, you know, whip your slaves less frequently every week, you know, but that implies that beating them less frequently is an all right thing to do. I mean, so again, the first problem is they're expressly promoting happy exploitation. The second problem is they're expressly promoting animal exploitation by saying reduce the amount of animal products you eat.
But eat them.
The third thing is this business about, you know, if you want to make the ultimate choice, go meat free. That one, this is all mind blowing, but that one is really troubling on a number of different levels. First of all, if they had said, make the ultimate choice to help animals go vegan, I would still object to that because I don't think we should be characterizing it as the ultimate choice. Going vegan is the only choice that we can make. If we think animals matter morally, any step short of going vegan is participating in animal exploitation. It's a binary world. You either go vegan or you continue to participate in animal exploitation. So this idea that that veganism is the ultimate choice is nonsense. It's the only choice. But they don't even say that. They say the ultimate choice is go meat-free. So, again, that's an expressly, explicitly anti-vegan statement. And then she goes on to say...
Well, and also, let's make sure we know that going meat-free to most people would mean consume dairy and eggs.
Well, of course it'd be... to most people. I mean, that's the way the English... I mean, you know, to any speaker, and native speaker of English, Bob, that's...
Well, meat-free Mondays. Meat-free Mondays have proved that.
When you say go meat-free, you know, it doesn't include dairy, eggs, or any other animal product. It's focusing on flesh. And then to say that if you go meat-free, you can know that no animals were harmed in the production of your food. That is explicitly saying that there is no harm involved in the production of dairy or eggs. I mean, it's mind-blowing. And I understand what they're trying to do. This campaign is very similar to the campaign that Animals Australia, the Make It Possible campaign, that Animals Australia runs in Australia, and I don't care where it's run, it's a dreadful campaign. It promotes animal exploitation, it betrays animal interests, it negates animal rights. It's just a dreadful situation, and I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to maximize their donations so, you know, they can keep bringing the money in, but they're bringing the money in at the expense of selling the animals down the line, down the road, rather, and it's just dreadful. It's dreadful. Mm.
Well, I see that they want to end factory farming. I don't even know what that means because from what I understand, like, there are big family farms out there. Like, even, well, Joe Maxwell, vice president of HSUS, kills 50,000 pigs every year. Is that, like, is he doing factory farming or is family farming?
That came up with somebody on my Facebook page today, and I pointed out, I don't even know what is factory farming? I mean,
I don't know I don't know what that is.
Factory farming. And the thing is that, you know, what do they envision? What do they want? Do they want, you know, all animals to be raised the way they were on 19th century farms? And, you know, there was still an enormous amount of suffering in those situations, and the animals all ended up getting killed anyway. So I would not regard that as a compassion. There's one compassionate selection, and that is go vegan. But I mean, I don't think family farms are any significantly better. But what is it? Is that what they're trying to say? Because I mean, I don't understand what it is that they're trying to say. And I think the message that comes out, you know, if you're listening to this, if you see this, you know, I would imagine that the only thing that people are getting from this is buy happy exploitation, eat less, you know, eat less meat or whatever. and maybe I can one day become, you know, super person, and I can go meat-free, and then I won't be harming any of the animals by going vegetarian. And that's the ultimate choice. I mean, that is just so profoundly confused. Yeah. And they're trying to maximize their donor base because they just won't want to alienate anybody. They want the donations from everybody. They want the donations from the people who go to Whole Foods because they say that Whole Foods is great, and they express their appreciation and support for Whole Foods. To go to Whole Foods and buy level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, animal welfare rated flesh. Or, you know, and they're trying to hit the people who are, you know, reducing their, or say that they're reducing their intake of animal products. And they want to, you know, they're trying to maximize their donor base. And they're doing it at the expense of the animals. It's a terribly confused message. But one thing that's clear, it's pro-exploitation and it's anti-vegan.
I came to those conclusions myself. I was somewhat shocked by the video after you alerted me to it, and I watched it, and I had that reaction that, wow, Mercy for Animals just keeps spiraling into, I mean, they're so good at, really, what a business it's become. And you know, I mean, even in that video, I think it said something about increasing demand for meat and eggs, but on its website, on its We're Winning page, I think it's taking credit for decreasing demand. You know, I don't even know, I don't understand anything about...
Well, it's a shell game. It's a shell game. It's, you know, it is, it's really tragic that these are the advocates that non-human animals have. Well, it's no wonder that we're exploiting more animals now in more horrific ways than we have at any point in human history. And I really ask you, Bob, please ask Nathan Runkel to come on the show and tell me how I'm wrong. I want to know. I really want to know. I mean,
here is an open invitation. And yes, well, okay, we'll contact Nathan Runkel again, although he's declined in the past. And an open invitation to come on any program, you know, like the week of your choice, Mr. Runkel, or Matt Rice, I don't know. And I don't know, is there anybody out there right now who's a Mercy for Animals supporter who agrees with this campaign, who wants to call in and defend it at 855-660-4261? Again, it seems like defending the indefensible. They always put themselves in that position. Yeah, when they were supporting the battery cages, the modified enriched cages, and, you know, after reversing their position, they can't seem to defend the indefensible.
Well, you know, it reminds me of a discussion I had with somebody at HSUS last year, no, the year before, in which I invited the person to come to Rutgers to discuss these issues with me. And his response was to say, well, I would rather spend my time attacking animal exploiters and not attacking other animal advocates. And I said, well, you don't understand my point. My point is, HSUS is pro-exploitation. That's my whole point. My point is, you say you want to attack the animal exploiters. I agree. The problem is you're on their side, and that's my point. And I don't, you know, this idea that, well, we can't have a debate because it looks bad for animal people to be arguing with each other, that assumes that there's some unitary institution called the animal movement. I'm telling you, I'm an animal advocate. I have no relationship to, interest in, or camaraderie with HSUS, Mercy for Animals, PETA, Compassion Over Killing, Vegan Outreach, any of these organizations.
We are proud to be divisive. We need to be divisive.
Animals need some divisiveness. If you're not divisive in this, quote, movement, end quote, you're an animal exploiter.
I had that same discussion, by the way, that you did with Paul Shapiro some years back, because at the time of Proposition 2, I was inviting him and Wayne to come on to the program with you to have a discussion. And again, he said, no, we need to debate the animal agriculture industry. We shouldn't debate, you know, between
HSUS
ourselves.
HSUS is the animal agriculture.
Well, that's what I said to him. I said, Paul, I don't know, Paul. You know, I see Wikipedia, which knows everything, says that 500 million of the world's 570 million farms are family farms. So I don't know how much better Mercy for Animals can do. We're already 500 million of 570 million. But we want to end that factory farming and get them killed on the family farm.
But what happens, Bob, is when they have these campaigns, And they say, well, you know, such and such corporation has agreed to, you know, to buy, you know, 10% of its pork from crate-free pork farms, you know, over the next 9 million years. They declare that factory farming is on its way out. I mean, it's duplicitous.
It is duplicitous. Yeah. They are the industry, or if they're not, they're sure doing a good job with their policies, the policies that the industry could only dream of the policies of today's animal advocacy movement. We'll continue with Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. With Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, and Facebook, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden. Thanks for support from SelectT, that's SeelectTea.com. You can order online. You can order the world's second most favorite beverage online after water. And you have many choices, organic tea and medicinal, various flavors and instants and blends and leaves, loose leaves and black and green and so many other products from this wonderful vegan company. Go to selecttea.com. And again, thanks for support for Go Vegan Radio and the World Vegan Summit and Expo. We're talking to Professor Gary Francione. It's you know, when you see campaigns like this from Mercy for Animals, which are so pro-meat, anti-vegan, I feel this moral obligation again to come up with another World Vegan Summit and Expo. Don't ask me why, but it just makes me feel that way. I don't know. It's like so crazy here that you are told that your kind choices are to eat meat or dairy and eggs. That's the state of affairs.
Exactly. You know, or, you know, just buy happy, you know, just refuse factory farm. Buy happy exploitation. You know, we tell you, we put our stamp of approval on Whole Foods. We think that, you know, Whole Foods program is pioneering. Ironically, I saw this week that PETA brought some action with government regulatory agency complaining about the fact that that Whole Foods represents that it's the animal welfare rated animal products are humane. I find it just remarkable. PETA signed the letter expressing their appreciation and support to Whole Foods for their quote pioneering end quote program. Now they're complaining about it, but they've never retracted. They've never said, "Look, we were wrong." That was something that came up at the summit, Bob. There was somebody from PETA there, if you remember. And I asked her point blank, have you retracted your support of the Whole Foods program? And her answer was very clear. No, we haven't retracted it.
So, Temple Grandin's award also? Is that?
Yeah, Temple Grandin's award. You know, not only did they put a stamp of approval on the Whole Foods program, but they gave Whole Foods an award. You know, and so they just talk, all these groups, Bob, talk out of, you know, every side of their fundraising mouths to try to sort of, if they're talking to people who are abolitionists, they try to pretend they're abolitionists. If they're talking to everybody else, they're welfarists. I hate to be cynical about it, but there's no rational reaction other than cynicism in this situation. Is to say, look, you know, there's no sincerity there. People are just talking out of all sides of their fundraising mouth, and that's a problem. Now, I take it we don't have any calls. Nobody has called in to try to defend the Mercy for Animals program.
Not even an attempt. 855-660-4261. Yep. This is
proof we do not have. The animal movement, as represented by these large groups, is a complete failure as a social movement, because if this were a healthy social movement, we'd be having a discussion. If this were a healthy social movement, Runkel would be on your show, and he'd be saying, look, here's my perspective, let's talk about it. And when he was asked, but isn't your program promoting happy exploitation, he'd have to answer that yes or no, but he won't, because he can't, because he is. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. So we have a situation in which people are selling out the interests of animals and won't even talk about it. And then when people like you and I raise it, we're evil because we've raised these questions. Well, we have substantive arguments. It's not we're expressing an opinion. It's we have arguments. Look, how can you say to somebody, refuse factory farm, and have it not imply that the problem is factory farm, and if they buy non-factory farm products, whatever those are, if they buy non-factory farm.
How do you even know? You wouldn't even know how to refuse. You don't even know how to refuse factory farm because you don't even know what that means. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, so I don't know. You know, we do not have a healthy movement. What we have is a bunch of businesses, and then we have people in the grassroots who are saying, hey, this isn't working. We don't go along with this. And then what's their response? Well, you're being divisive. You're harming animals. You don't understand we're trying to reduce suffering. Well, first of all, I don't think animal welfare reforms reduce suffering because most of them are just useless, number one. They don't provide much protection for animal interests, number one. Number two, they take years and years to phase in, if at all.
And we hope they don't, because it could even be worse. Yeah, so, well, we're out of time. We'll pick up the discussion again next week. So, with Professor Gary Francione, thanks for listening. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com.